Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by LER, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines. Right Fit Sports and Wellness. Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Quick shout out, Bruce Merrin, Celebrity Speakers Bureau. I'm excited to be involved with them. Bruce celebrated like his 46th year. His first sports clients were Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson once upon a time. Bruce Celebrity Speakers. Got a great doubleheader today. Dr. Lowell Wild Jr., acclaimed podiatric physician and surgeon. He's the CEO of the multi-state Wild Foot and Ankle Institute. Famous name he's got. He's returning, along with Nikki Anderson. She's the owner, founder of Reality Fitness Incorporated. She was one of IDEA's Personal Trainer of the Year in 2009. Then the sports doctor's in, a little Bob Guide of Wisdom, some emails. First, let me welcome back Dr. Lowell Wild Jr. Welcome back to the sports doctor.
Bob, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be back.
You know, give us some background on you. You know, your dad is an icon in the world of podiatry. Not only surgical podiatry, but sports medicine in the world of podiatry. I remember we were at a meeting 100 years ago. You must have been 10 years old sitting at the table with your dad with your Bears hat on. And your dad and I, we were talking about the Bears and some of these guys we were treating. Give us some background, Lo, on yourself and your dad.
Yeah, Bob. My dad certainly is an icon nationally, internationally in the world of foot and ankle. And he started his practice in 1965. And in those early days, podiatry was a fringe specialty. And he and other real pioneers started to get podiatry recognized as a mainstream important part of the healthcare delivery in the United States. And Dad and others started residency program, a famous residency program in Chicago called Northlake Hospital, and trained many of the future leaders of the profession. Dad invented many surgical procedures that are now based on innovations today. He was well-known treating athletes. He was the first podiatry director of what was then called the Mayer Daily Marathon, eventually became the Chicago Marathon. He was the podiatrist for the Mid-America Twisters gymnastics program that was putting out the world's best gymnast, and he was actually named as the team podiatrist for the 1980 Olympic women's gymnastics team, and unfortunately a boycott of the Olympics at that time prevented them from going, which that was when Russia invaded Afghanistan. And I'm wondering now, with them invading Ukraine, if the similar thing is going to happen.
Race walkers, the famous Augie Hurt, who was a world record holder. And 1976, there was no race walking in the Olympics. 1980, there was, and he got boycotted. I remember that year well. So to pardon the podiatry pun, you've had quite a pair of shoes to fill, haven't you, in podiatry?
I have, and my interest in podiatry came from, look, my dad was well-loved by his patients, and but he was also the team doctor for the Chicago Bears and the Chicago White Sox, and is a lover of sports and a participator, a not very good participator, but a participator of sports. I wanted to be involved with sports, and seeing my dad's participation in those sports got me really interested, and gosh, there was some big shoes to fill, and I've really tried to create my own path, and so My history is a little different, where I went to undergrad at Vanderbilt University, and then after podiatry school in Chicago, went to University of Pennsylvania for my residency. And then I went to Europe for a fellowship to get really high-end specialized training. And then I came back and I started forging my own path. And not only was I forging my own path clinically and surgically, I also went and got my master's in business and tried to take more innovative business practices to medicine, because generally physician practices don't really do business well. And it's not to say we should make it big business, but we have a responsibility to the people who work for us and our patients to run a business that treats people well, treats patients well, gives us the opportunity to invest in better technology to provide better medical care. And so the amalgamation of my medical training and my business training allowed us to really take Wildfoot and Ankle a step forward and provide more advanced foot and ankle care.
You know, everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years, international guests, national guests, local guests, all topics, sports medicine, fitness, wellness. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll read an array of great information, whether it's what's the best shoe, to a very hot article I've written, which is the surviving high heel for you women. And we have thousands and thousands of followers on Twitter and LinkedIn. I can't tell you how many guests I get from that world. But if you go to at SportsDoc, D-O-C Radio, you can get great information. Follow us on Twitter for all sorts of information. We're talking with Dr. Lowell Weil Jr., again, acclaimed podiatrist. He also is, again, the CEO of this multi-state foot ankle. What are some of the specialties, you know, podiatry, but you include physical. What are some of the other specialties that are included? Tell us about Wildfoot and Ankle.
Yeah, Bob. So it was, as we started to grow, we really recognized that podiatry is a very diverse specialty in that there are areas of expertise needed to provide the highest level of care. So as we grew, we wanted to bring in doctors who were the best in these different areas. For instance, we have doctors that are experts in total ankle replacement. We have doctors that are experts in diabetic care, which is such a huge part of what we do as podiatrists. We have doctors who are experts with sports medicine, who are former athletes themselves and have really focused their practice on providing other athletes the best opportunity for success. Within our organization, we also have a physical therapist who specializes in musculoskeletal physical therapy, and in particular, lower extremity, foot, ankle, knee, hip, back.
You know, one of your colleagues, Dr. Bruce Williams, who's been on my show a couple of different times, I remember he was the head of your gait lab at Wildfoot and Ankle, Bruce Williams.
Yeah. So we have experts like that, and Bruce has moved on to a different direction, and he's consulting in some different areas in his career.
Yes. Your dad and I always, again, we shared, I don't know how many patients between the White Sox. Half the White Sox and Bears were working with my late mentor and colleague, Bob Guida, the famous sports therapist. Who was rehabbing half these guys, seeing a lot of them. So it was all sorts of interaction where your dad and I, we would say, hey, listen, who's going to put the orthotics in Hicks's shoes, me or you? You know? But your dad and I paid huge attention, as did Guida Lowell, to the role of the foot in sports and the effect of the foot on everywhere above. To this day, half the girls I see in the world of figure skating are knee problems, you know. And so we're still really, really educating the rest of medicine to pay huge attention to the role of the foot when it comes to all of these other different areas. And that was always a big deal with your dad. And I know you've carried on a lot of that tradition in that respect. What are some of the involvements of some of your different colleagues, again, in the world of sports medicine, both in youth sports, which is a very, very big deal on the sports doctor, as well as all sorts of different levels. What are you guys involved with?
Well, I want to echo what you said. The foot and ankle are the foundation for the entire musculoskeletal process, and any athlete who is going to succeed needs to have their foot and ankle in great shape to help and prevent knee problems, hip problems, and other things. So, the foot and ankle tend to sometimes be an afterthought. We shove them into a shoe and say, go get them. And that is not the recipe for success. So things
that we're
not
an athlete out there, right? There's not an athlete at any age. One of my chapters in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, I call it the two essential exercise concepts. And one of them is strengthen your feet and ankles. Regardless of the sport or your age or level, we can't stress enough how important that is if you're talking about balance, stability, speed, prevention of problems. The other key is work balance and work stability. And the foot is the foundation of all of that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you talk about us starting at an early age. We have many of our doctors who are involved with youth sports. We have some that are really working at in the soccer level with the young fire groups. We have three different doctors in our organization who were high-level competitive skaters, and they are super involved with youth skating and getting those young ice skaters in the right position.
Yeah. Are you talking about figure skating, Lowe?
I am mostly talking about figure skating with that group of people.
You know, yes. Believe it or not, Lowe, it's 12 years. I'm still celebrating. I still show his slides. 12 years since my young, at that time, 10-year-old Evan Lysacek, who became the 2010 Men's Olympic gold medalist. This is one of my super specialties. Again, when we're talking about the whole role of orthotics, and the world of skating. You know, I've never had a coach call me and say, you know, I think you slowed the kid down or the athlete down. Alignment is a very, very big deal. You guys have been pioneers in the world of orthotics for as long as I know you, haven't you?
Yeah, I would like to think so. I would say that we're pretty innovative in the way we look at utilizing orthotics. And I think a misconception with orthotics, and you're as good at this as anybody, Bob, is it's one orthotic isn't the right orthotic for everybody. It's a very nuanced, artistic thing. It's not just, hey, pick something online, stick your foot in something, and just get the same thing delivered. Every athlete needs something specifically different for them. The material, the alignment, the sport, they're all
lenses. You know, what's the best website to find out about the Institute and all the different locations, Lowe?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. www.weil4feet.com. W-E-I-L, the number 4, F-E-E-T.com.
The last couple of minutes, talk briefly also. You were one of the pioneers with shockwave therapy and the treatment plantar fasciitis, all sorts of different other areas. Are you still finding that successful today?
Yeah, Bob, thanks for bringing that up. One of the things during my fellowship years ago, I've been in practice now for a little over 25 years, I was introduced to shockwave back in the late 1990s, and we were the first in the United States to be performing shockwave treatment, and I've done it on literally thousands of athletes and non-athletes, and the success in a non-invasive way is frankly unparalleled with anything I do in my practice. Injections, physical therapy, whatever it may be, nothing non-invasively compares to the use of shockwave for fasciitis, Achilles tendonitis, any tendinopathy in and around the foot and ankle. And it's a mystery to me why more people aren't more excited about shockwave, because we've been doing it for over 20 years.
Yeah. And one of the most successful ways, to enhance healing. I always felt shockwave really was all about stimulating the body's natural healing process by bombarding these tissues with shockwaves, again, non-invasive. So, yeah, it's always been one of these kinds of scenarios. I remember Guida, he would always talk about vibrational therapy and deep, deep soft tissue. And there was always a whole educational challenge in that regard also. And the shockwave, of course, was something that, again, you really, really brought to the forefront, not only for the foot and ankle, other areas of the body.
Yeah, it's valuable beyond the foot and ankle. It's commonly used in elbow, shoulder, and knee. Worldwide, and maybe less so in the United States, but
I knew the time would fly.
Stimulates the body.
I knew the time would fly with you. Give me quickly again the website people could find out all about the Weil foot ankle.
www.weil4feet.com. W-E-I-L, the number 4 feet, F-E-E-T.com.
Fantastic. Dr. Lowe Weil Jr. Hold on, Lowe. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.
Yeah, that was fast.
Yeah, that was fabulous. Hey, everybody, Dr. Bob Weil.
That's my style. You know, we talked about 19 things in 8 minutes.
My new book,
for the general audience. Again,
Dartmouth.
Look for the replay on Saturday.
An essential guide.
Being sent
any
to Denise,
parent with
your,
a child,
your company gal.
You know, Sharky is
that you'll
a
be able to share.
Hall
and if you want, let me know if you want
player.
The individual
She's
segment.
The mom of two daughters,
and then we'll get
Division
that out to you so you can put
players.
On your website, et cetera.
We have over
and then I'm
going to
follow up with you sometime in the near future and talk to you about
all of the book,
maybe doing a
you
couple of different things together in that world, in my world of semi-retirement,
parents.
See some ideas that you might have.
Hashtag Hey Sports Parents
is
divided into four sections. The first section,
again, the regard
101. Sharky talks
I
everything
well.
About parenting, about
thanks
coaching,
again for joining
that whole interaction
be
between
well.
Parents
care.
And coaches, coaching your own kids. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Hey, get out your megaphones.
I'm good. You got about a minute.
Now available
again,
on Amazon.
Nikki, you're going to get the
now.
Replay.
You'll be more confident.
Show
so will your young athletes. Hashtag
promo.
Hey, sports parents.
Along with the link for the replay. Okay. You'll get that on Saturday. You'll get that on Saturday. And if you like a individual segment, your segment alone, without the commercials, whatever. And you'll let me
everybody,
you'll
Dr.
Let
Bob
me know.
Here.
We'll send it to
you.
How you doing?
Lower Extremity
I'm
Review
really
Magazine
well, thank
celebrating
you. It's
the
so nice
10th anniversary.
This is
it's
so
been a decade
fun.
Of
like,
writing.
Here we are, how many years later doing this again?
Well, I'm going to about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions to the lower extremity.
We're
going to
do two live
LERs, the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of both specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and we've got Nikki Anderson back after all these years, owner, founder of Reality Fitness Incorporated. She was IDEA's Personal Trainer of the Year back in 2009. She's done lots of different things since then. Nikki Anderson, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
It's great to be back and nice to be with you.
Yes. I don't know if it's 15 or 20 years ago, give or take a few weeks, when I was on WDCB, the famous blues jazz station, College of DuPage, Glen Ellyn, Illinois. You joined me on the radio. You were a leader in the fitness field then with, I think, Lifetime Fitness. If I recall. So I'm trying to remember. And so how many years ago was that initially with you with your fitness background?
So I started the business in 93. So I think I really started like making my way into the community and into the larger community, probably in 98, 99. So yeah, like 20 years ago.
What's interesting, you wore Lifetime Fitness initially, right?
That was my name. Yes, I was.
Yeah. And remember? And we said this gigantic company's coming. You said, I ain't changing my name. And then we found out that they were like bigger than Disney World.
You're exactly right. Yes. And you know, the good fortune was, is I had a book coming out that year or that following year with the title of Reality Fitness. So that was why I made
it. Was a perfect
switch.
Yes. Now, the one-on-one personal training world, you know, again, back then when you started, people didn't know how to spell personal training, let alone medicine or some of the others or physical therapy. So that was a real challenge in so many ways. And is Reality Fitness still around?
Yeah, I sold it in 2012. And it's my understanding that the woman who bought it it still operates. I think she's working out of her home now. I had a brick and mortar, and when she bought it, she was still in the brick and mortar. But then she moved, and I think she moved back home.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, the women's fitness. And matter of fact, a few weeks ago, we had one of the new gals in town with the fitness group in Naperville, Delta.
Yep.
Fitness, and she was our guest. So the one-on-one training and the ability of people who maybe were intimidated to go to a club or whatever, all of these kinds of scenarios. Way back when, what was your ratio of men to women when you were in the beginning?
I'd probably say 60-40. I had 60% women and 40% men. And, you know, the thing about the business that I think really is what catapulted me into the bigger world of health and fitness is that there weren't many women business owners back then. I mean, I was speaking at IHRSA, and I was one of three women out of how many men speaking about owning a business. And probably around in the mid-2000s is when women started making the jump from aerobic instructors or Pilates instructors to owning their own facilities. And that's really when my consulting and my speaking really started to grow, because more and more women were starting their own business. Where when I started, I remember being on a panel. Do you remember a guy, Phil Kaplan? Do you remember him?
Yes.
Big guy back in the day. And Lee, oh my gosh, I cannot believe, Ryan Lee.
Right.
Like, Ryan was just starting, and we were all on a panel together, and I was the only woman talking about business and fitness. And
well, isn't it amazing in the circle you've come? Because again, you know, for our listeners, you know, Nikki went on to become the president of the Chamber of Commerce in one of the United States' most exciting cities, Naperville, Illinois. Now you're at Benedict University, and you're working with young undergraduate women in so many different parts of their world. You know, it's amazing. On the sports doctor, the mental game is a very big deal, Nikki, whether it's somebody who's trying to stick with their exercise program, whether it's somebody who's dealing with nutrition and weight loss, whether you're the best athlete in the world and we're talking high performance. It's so much the mental game. And fitness has always been a big part of whatever you were doing in whatever business you were involved with, hasn't it been?
Oh, completely. I think the interesting thing about fitness, and I always make so many comparisons to the world of fitness and the world of business. I mean, as far as like, you know, committing to doing something, right? And there were these business owners that they wanted the success, but they didn't want to do the work, right? And that happened with my clients. You know, it's like, I really want to do this. And the honest answer was, no, you don't. because what you're doing is you want to do something that isn't really something you want to do. You just think you should do it. So let's try and identify something that you do want to do so that you can be successful. And you know what? I even see it with the students here. You know, they come in and they want to be a doctor because their family says they have to be a doctor. But are they, is it
still
something they
right.
really want
it's
to
it's
do?
Still, it's amazing. The specialty of youth sports, as you know, the reason I co-authored the book with famous volleyball superstar and podcast host Sharky Zartman was the epidemic of youth sports overuse, injuries, too much, too aggressive, mm-hmm. too much pressure. You see it now with the young students that you might be working with, like you talk about, in whatever profession, and the whole family yep. dynamic. So again, that mental part of it, like you talked about, you know, commitment and stick with it, and the idea that, we are still treading water in the world of obesity, in the world of diabetes, the explosion of diabetics, and the youth diabetes, and the idea of childhood obesity. So it just is amazing after all of these years, when we take a look at the progress we've made, sometimes it's depressing, isn't it?
Oh, much so. And the truth is, again, we are not helping people set themselves up for success, right? We have social media, which really, I think, communicates something that's impossible for the average person, right? And so I think that for so many people, if I can't do that or achieve that, I'm just not going to do anything. And we've also made it that if it's anything less than that, you failed. So we really haven't set up folks for success. And I used to see it in my studio all the time. Well, I want a six pack. And I would say, no, you don't, because here's what you have to do to get that and maintain it. And nobody would be willing to do that, right? And yes. So it's having these realistic expectations. You know, a little bit of something is better than a lot of nothing. And I even remember when I started my business, that was my mantra. A little bit of something is better than a lot of nothing. But you know what? It wasn't flashy. It wasn't sexy. And so I really struggled with that message. But I will tell you, I had a lot of success with my clients because of the expectations, and the expectations were realistic. I didn't have athletes. I had moms and dads, and their expectations had to be in alignment with what they were able and willing to do.
Yes, this is why I even asked you all those years ago how your sports psychology skills were, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a huge part of it when you're dealing with everyday people who are just, you know, trying to include somehow the exercise program. Now, on the other side, when you're talking with tutoring young women and your exciting new program at Benedict University and all aspects, the addition, or you're talking to the biggest businesses in our area, you're talking about the importance of fitness and exercise being a key addition, aren't you?
Oh, self-care. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and you know what is so interesting? I remember when my clients used to tell me, well, Nikki, you don't have a job like I do. You don't understand how challenging it is. Well, you know, Bob, I was the CEO of the chamber, right? That was an 80-hour-a-week job. And I still
really?
Made time. To get in my biking, to get in whatever it was that I was able to do, sneak in a walk at lunchtime, you know, to do that. And the thing is that there's that mental component, right? And I don't mean just the fortitude to do it. I mean the effects of movement and how it impacts your brain and the power to make good decisions and to be able to be in tough conversations. And when you are fit and you're caring for yourself, you are in such a much better position to be able to do that. And people don't really understand that connection of body and mind yet. I really, really think that they kind of dismiss it. When your body's healthy, your mind's healthy, and vice versa. I'm a big believer
yes.
of that, and I think you are too.
Yes, we include so much of the holistic side of things on the sports doctors, you know, over the years, whether we're talking about
right?
yoga, whether we're talking about Oriental or Eastern medicine, acupuncture, other meditation. all of these, again, that mental part of things, especially when you're in a country. You know, the United States is one of only two countries in the world that allows advertising of drugs on television ad nauseum.
Pretty crazy.
Such a huge problem. They don't stop. Yep. And the only area that's almost as much as that, maybe it's insurance, no, it's diet.
Yeah.
The trillion-dollar diet industry. And then I talk about on the sports doctor all the time, here's what the new medicine is, folks. Number one, eat smarter. And number two, keep moving. Right in that regard. So tell us about your program at the university.
Yeah, so it's a 4-year leadership program for women. In fact, one of my advisory board members is from England. So Hira Ali, she's amazing. But it's a 4-year co-curricular program for women. And the idea of the program is that these students initially learn themselves, right? You can't lead others if you can't lead yourself. So we put a really big emphasis on self-exploration of your skills, your strengths, your potential. And then we build on that over 4 years, first helping them understand themselves so that they can move forward in leading self, leading community, and then leading globally.
Well, you can tell your colleague that our show next week plays on the UK Health Radio Network. It's fantastic, across the pond. So you could tell us, she could tune in and hear herself in her her home country. How do people find out about it? Is there a site they go to that they would find out about you and some of your writing, some of the other things you're doing?
Yeah, you could go to NikkiAnderson.com. That's kind of my blog, although I've been woefully remiss in blogging. The epidemic has sucked my creative juices out.
It sucked everybody's out. And, you know, it's interesting. No matter where in the world I have guests from, Nikki, whatever their vocation is, the common denominator is mental health and the ringer we've all been put through, that we're still being put through. That the pandemic has caused, whether it's parents of kids in school, but school's on, it's not, all of these crazy things. I'm going to talk more about some of that connection, talking with Nikki Anderson. We'll talk a little bit more about those reality fitness days. It is the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has 2 Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide. School pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. globalschoolwear.com.
everybody. We are back. It is the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're talking with Nikki Anderson. She was the owner, founder of Reality Fitness Incorporated, and she was the Personal Trainer of the Year back in 2009. In that particular history, now she's very, very involved in education of young women and really, really charting a path of progress and positive and the connection between wellness and fitness and nutrition and that whole new world. Talk a little bit more about, Nikki, how you plan on mixing in some of your strong history again with fitness and wellness and the fact that you're going to be shaping these young college women's lives with your new programs.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's this misnomer, right? That it's all or nothing, right? You're either committed to this one thing, which in their point at this point in their life is their academics, and kind of going back to what we talked about earlier, you know, the mental impact of the pressure to be everything to everyone. And so we really talk about in this program the importance of self-care. We know the impact of exercise, not only from a physical standpoint, but from a mental and emotional standpoint, the impact of movement. It was so interesting today. I always go out for a walk after I eat lunch on campus. And one of my students said, Miss Nikki. And she goes, I'm going for a walk. And I go, me too. And I was like so proud of her and praising her for taking this time in between classes to walk. And then nutrition, right? I think we're really lucky. We have an amazing cafeteria that offers, you know, plant-based foods. Yes, they have some of the junk food, but they're really committed to serving these students high quality, high nutritionally content foods. And to me, I think that that's important. And so I always talk about my commitment to a lifestyle that allows me at my age to be able to jump to a new job and work the way I do, have the energy the way I do, and it's all because of how I take care of myself.
It must be that you're orthotic still in your shoes, your 30-inch vertical leap that you're talking about. You could leap right into it. You think you're going to find with a lot of these young women in these programs, you can have any athletes in the group who maybe played for the school or involved in that those programs?
The really cool thing is half of my students are athletes. And you know, the interesting thing about my athletes, though, is those are the ones that really need that leadership component, because they're although they're you know, these great students and great at team sports, they still are not the ones that are willing to raise their hand and to share their voice and to give their perspective, because that confidence in another arena isn't there the way it is in sports. So we really talk about, you know, you can be just as good off the field as you can be on the field with your voice and with your leadership skills. So we do have those conversations.
Yes, and a lot, you know, I think it's Benedictine. Are they a Division III school still?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, where there aren't necessarily scholarship athletes. There are people who really want to be an athlete many times and are,
right,
you know, part of the team. You know, they have a great sports tradition over there. A couple of our friends, their daughters played 4 years on the girls' women's softball. You had some great teams. And over the years, I'm really talking about a while back, we would have some of these national volleyball groups would come in, and Benedictine would host them with all the different aspects of the sports medicine side, the safety in the world of volleyball. And that whole particular area. So, yeah, again, the idea of having some of these kids who are playing on the teams also looking for some of the different leadership skills like you're talking about. And the young students and social media, good luck to you, Nikki, right?
Yeah, that's a challenge.
Wow.
That's a challenge for sure. Yeah, that's a challenge for sure. And, you know, we do talk about it. It's interesting. I was listening to a gentleman. His name's Arthur Brooks. He writes for The Atlantic and I think New York Times. And he's a scientist of happiness, which is really interesting, right? And he teaches at the Harvard School of Business. And he said that 50% of the students that he works with suffer from depression. Now, these are all kids that are attending Harvard University, right? One of the most elite schools in the country, and they 50% suffering from depression. And the first thing he tells them to do is get off social media. Yeah, get off social media. And he said that about 30% of them actually do, and they come up at the end of the term and go, oh, my gosh, it's changed my life. So, yeah, I have nothing good to say. I mean, I'm active on social media from a Benedictine, you know, my program perspective.
There's a lot of good things. Yeah, I love it when you have 200 people say happy birthday, you know, they send memories, all of these things.
I love
to post the radio shows, et cetera. But there's a side of this that has, it's interesting, a doctor, McDermott, is a adult and child psychiatrist out on the West Coast. She participated in the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. She shared what a nightmare the social media side of things has been for families or for some of these kids in so many crazy ways that it really, really has been, again, the whole idea of it very, very depressing. And that's alarming when you think about that kind of a percentage and some of these different challenges. That's why I really applaud you for jumping in with a leadership program for these young women. Very exciting. This just started, right?
Yeah, our first cohort just started this past fall. So we're interviewing and taking applications for our second cohort as we speak.
Yeah, that's really, really something in being the idea like we talked about with the psychology skills, you know, the dynamics of families. Again, like you mentioned, the pressure of some of these kids. Using the sports metaphor again, one of my famous sports therapists, you might remember the great Jim Vickery, the late Jim Vickery, who couldn't use the word psychology back in the late 80s and 90s. It scared people away.
Yeah.
And he'd say to sports parents, he said, here's my first pearl for you. Don't be a critic. And he would make such a big point. Don't be a critic. Don't put the kind of pressure on these kids. And you see that kind of pressure academically, though, don't you?
Oh, all the time. All the time. And you know, it's the interesting thing is the pressure on some of these students, and they haven't gotten to a point yet where they can turn around and go, you know what, this isn't what I want to do. This isn't where my passion lies. This is where your passion lies. So let me do what I'm passionate about so that I can be happy and successful.
You're talking about having them become self-aware. What was that term you used that you want these young women to stress?
I don't remember. There's lots of things.
Who knows? I'll tell you. Next show I have you on, you'll remember. Nikki Anderson, hey, thank you so much for joining us, going down memory lane with some of the different
things
you're
doing.
I wish you all the success in the world. And,
thank you, sir.
Again,
I appreciate
it. Where do they catch your law? Your NikkiAnderson.com?
Yep. And they can also go to Benedictine University, ben.edu. Yep.
Great. Hold on, Nikki. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hold on. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. It is the Sports Doctors In segment. This is the Sports Doctor. And do we include again some of the different ideas and methods of the famous Bob Guida, my colleague, my late colleague, and his writings and his expertise in the world of sports medicine? You know, Bob Guida would always say, don't overstretch. When he first started talking and writing about that, gosh, decades ago, the physical therapy and medical world that came after him, you know, stretching was such a big part of everything, even though there wasn't a test of how effective it was, if at all, in so many different studies. His point was, don't overstretch the joints. Whatever the joint was, the shoulder, the elbow, the knee, the ankle, overstretching, causing maybe some looseness or laxity in the area, maybe making areas more susceptible to injury. So he's talked about controlled stretching and range of motion and strength over the range of motion. So this is something that's very, very important when we talk to people about stretching, and to have good technique and proper technique and learn the proper way from your physical therapist, your athletic trainer, and don't cause injury by overstretching and straining in some of these different areas. Sometimes yoga is a good example of that. So that's our guide of wisdom for this week. We've got some great shows coming up the next few weeks. Next week, master figure skating coach and owner of Vestibular Balance Training, Sheila Thielen, will return. One of my oldest colleagues, speaking of Bob Guida, one of the trainers who worked with him for years, Dave Buchanan, will be joining us. The following week, we're going to be talking about body image with Dr. Ellen Albertson, and we'll catch up with our colleague Joel Franco, the creator of the upcoming documentary, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. One great guest after another. We have some emails. Sal said, I'm a 40-year-old jogger. I was diagnosed with tarsal tunnel syndrome. Is this a surgical problem? It's possible, Sal, but many tarsal tunnel is an entrapment. Irritation of one of the major nerves that runs down the inside of the lower shin and ankle into the arch. And when the arch collapses excessively or there's excessive strain on that area, that tube that the nerve runs through can get clogged, irritated, swollen, and then cause numbness, tingling, pain to the area. So there is conservative treatment, very successful physical therapy, proper support for the foot. We've had great success with orthotics and putting the foot and ankle in its best position, not allowing excessive collapse of the foot, taking pressure off that particular nerve area, especially with strengthening, sometimes injections. So one of my points, Sal, is if you were told the only remedy is surgery, get another opinion. Ellen says, my 13-year-old daughter plays a very active basketball player. She's on the school team. She plays in the traveling team. It seems like one of your articles, we've been dealing with the fact that if she doesn't take an Advil, two Advils a day, that her ankles bother her. And she, we talk about that we really got to take over the counter. You know, Ellen, you're flirting with an area of overuse that's a problem.
one of the things I stress is if your son or daughter needs medicine to participate, you're over the line. What you need to do is find out what is it about the foot ankle that's a problem, whether we need strengthening, whether you need physical therapy. See podiatry, where you can talk about the shoes that she's in. You could talk about the role of orthotics, which are very, very helpful, especially with young girls where we see so many knee problems. You can't go wrong, including orthotics. Might really, really help. Again, if supervised by her pediatrician, by your doctor, if supervised, a podiatrist, we recommend and will use over-the-counter anti-inflammatory medicine very successfully. It's very helpful. It works. It's not as an excuse to continue the same level of playing or the same intensity. I use a term all the time, intelligent rest. You need to back off and identify what the problem is. Allow rest and recovery is one of the biggest concerns here. So do not rely on pain medicine to keep your daughter in the game. If supervised, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks, a week, in order to help calm things down while you're identifying the problem, strengthening the area. Sherry says, my 14-year-old son has run cross-country since, gosh, almost elementary school. He's always had shin problems, shin splints. What are your thoughts? You know, Sherry, I'll tell you, that kind of story makes me talk about one of these facts that almost all consistent shin problems or recurrent shin problems are foot mechanics related. So common, whether it's the high arch foot, which is pounding during foot strike, causing pressure in that lower shin area, or more commonly, it's the excessive pronated foot, the over-collapsing foot that puts strain on that tendon, the tibial tendon, which helps to control the collapse of the foot. And when we have persistent shin problems, and shin splints is not a medical diagnosis. Shin splints could be a stress fracture. Shin splints could be tendonitis. Shin splints could be muscle irritation and inflammation. So this is something that you want to get that diagnosis so that you know what you're dealing with. And then you want to, again, pay big attention to what we just talked about, the biomechanics. Can't tell you how often we would see shin splints gone with proper orthotics, strengthening, and physical therapy. You definitely want to look at the role of the foot, see podiatry, get that input. And the good news is great success when you include proper custom orthotics when we're dealing with recurrent or problematic shin splint problems. Wow, time flew. Thanks, everybody. Our colleagues at BBS. See you at Sports Doc. Catch you next week.